This week's newsletter describes a proposal for speeding up Bitcoin Core initial block download with a proof-of-concept implementation that shows a roughly 5x speed-up compared to Bitcoin Core's defaults. Also included are our regular sections summarizing a Bitcoin Core Peer Review Club meeting, announcing new releases and release candidates, and describing notable changes to popular Bitcoin infrastructure projects news. First, Swift Sync Speedup for Initial Block Download. Sebastian Falbisona posted to Delving Bitcoin a sample implementation and performance results for Swift Sync, an idea proposed by Ruben Somson during a recent Bitcoin Core Developers meeting and later posted to the mailing list. As of writing, the most recent results posted in the thread show a 5.28x speedup of initial block download, also known as IBD, over Bitcoin Core's default IBD settings, which uses assume a valid but not assume AXO. This reduces the initial sync time from about 41 hours to about 8 hours. Before using Swift Sync, someone who has already synced their node to a recent block creates a hints file. This file indicates which transaction outputs will be in the AXO set at that block, that is, which outputs will be unspent. This can be efficiently encoded to a few hundred megabytes for the current AXO set size. The hints file also indicates what block it was generated at. We'll call this the terminal Swift Sync block. The user performing Swift Sync downloads the hints file and uses it when processing each block prior to the terminal Swift Sync block. They only store outputs in the AXO database if the hints file indicates that the output will remain in the AXO set when the terminal Swift Sync block is reached. This massively reduces the number of entries that are added and then later removed from the AXO database during initial block download, or IBD. To ensure that the hints file is correct, every created output, not stored in the AXO database, is added to a cryptographic accumulator. Every spent output is removed from the accumulator. When the node reaches the terminal Swift Sync block, it ensures the accumulator is empty. This means every output seen was later spent. If that fails, it means that the hints file was incorrect, and that initial block download, or IBD, needs to be performed again from scratch without using Swift Sync. In this way, users do not need to trust the creator of the hints file. A malicious file cannot result in an incorrect AXO state. It can only waste a few hours of the user's computing resources. An additional property of Swift Sync that has not yet been implemented is allowing parallel validation of blocks during IBD. This is possible because AssumeAvalid does not check the scripts of older blocks. Entries are never removed from the AXO database prior to the terminal Swift Sync block, and the accumulator used only tracks the net effect of outputs being added, that is, created, and removed, that is, spent. That eliminates any dependencies between blocks before the terminal Swift Sync block. Parallel validation during IBD, or initial block download, is also a feature of AXO for some of the same reasons. The discussion examined several aspects of the proposal. Falbisona's original implementation used the MooHash Accumulator C newsletter number 123, which has been shown to be resistant to the generalized birthday attack. Somson described an alternative approach that may be faster. Falbisona questioned whether the alternative approach was cryptographically secure. However, because it was simple, he implemented it anyway and found it further sped up Swift Sync. James O'Byrne asked whether Swift Sync is useful, given that assume AXO provides an even larger speedup. Somson replied that Swift Sync speeds up assume AXO's background validation, making it a nice addition for users of assume AXO. He further notes that anyone who downloads assume AXO's required date, the AXO database at a particular block, doesn't need a separate hints file if they use that same block as the terminal. Swift Sync block, Vojtech Estiernad 0b10c, and Somson discussed compressing the hint file data with an expected savings of about 75%. This would bring the test hints file for block 850,900 down to about 88 megabytes. Discussion was still ongoing at the time of writing. Bitcoin Core PR Review Club. In this monthly section, we summarize a recent Bitcoin Core PR Review Club meeting, highlighting some of the important questions and answers. Click on a question below to see a summary of the answer from the meeting. Ad Fee Rate Forecaster Manager is a PR by Ismail Sadiq that upgrades the transaction fee forecasting, also called estimation logic. It introduces a new Forecaster Manager class, to which multiple forecasters can be registered. The existing C-Block Policy Estimator, which only considers confirmed transactions, is refactored to become one such forecaster. Notably, a new Mempool Forecaster is introduced. Mempool Forecaster considers unconfirmed transactions that are in the mempool. Because of this, it can react to fee rate changes more quickly. Why is the new system called a Forecaster and Forecaster Manager rather than an Estimator and Fee Estimation Manager? The system predicts future outcomes based on current and past data. Unlike an estimator, which approximates present conditions with some randomization, a forecaster projects future events. This aligns with this system's predictive nature and its output of uncertainty and risk levels. Why is C-Block Policy Estimator not modified to hold the mempool reference, similar to the approach in pull request number 12,966? What is the current approach, and why is it better than holding a reference to the mempool? Hint, see pull request number 20,8368. C-Block Policy Estimator inherits from C-Validation Interface and implements its virtual methods. Transaction added to mempool, transaction removed from mempool, and mempool transactions removed for block. This gives C-Block Policy Estimator all the mempool information it needs without being unnecessarily tightly coupled to the mempool via a reference. First, what are the trade-offs between the new architecture and a direct modification of C-Block Policy Estimator? The new architecture, with a fee rate forecaster manager class to which multiple forecasters can be registered, is a more modular approach. This allows for better testing and enforces a better separation of concerns. It allows easily plugging in new forecasting strategies later on. This comes at the cost of a bit more code to maintain, and potentially confusing users about which estimation method to use. Releases and release candidates. New releases and release candidates for popular Bitcoin infrastructure projects. Please consider upgrading to new releases or helping to test release candidates. Core Lightning 2.0, 2.1 is a maintenance release for the current major version of this popular LN node. It includes several bug fixes. Core Lightning 2.4.1, 1.2 is a maintenance release for a prior major version of this popular LN node. It includes several bug fixes. Some of them are the same bug fixes that were released in version 2, 5.0.2.1. BTC Pay Server 2.1.0 is a major release of this self-hosted payment processing software. It includes breaking changes for users of some altcoins, improvements for RBF and CPFP fee bumping, and a better flow for multisig when all signers are using BTC Pay Server. Bitcoin Core 29.0 Release Candidate 3 is a release candidate for the next major version of the network's predominant full node. Please see the version 20.9 testing guide. LND 0.1 9.0 Beta Release Candidate 2 is a release candidate for this popular LN node. One of the major improvements that could probably use testing is the new RBF-based fee bumping for cooperative closes. Notable code and documentation changes. Notable recent changes in Bitcoin Core, Core Lightning, Eclair, LDK, LND, Libsec 2, 150, 6K1, Hardware Wallet Interface, also known as HWI, Rust Bitcoin, BTC Pay Server, BDK, Bitcoin Improvement Proposals. Known as BIP, Lightning Bolts, Lightning Blips, Bitcoin Inquisition, and Binanas. First, LDK issue number 2256 and LDK issue number 3709 improve attributable failures, as detailed in newsletter number 200. N24, as specified in bolts number 1044. This is done by adding an optional attribution date field to the update fail HTLC struct and introducing the attribution data struct. In this protocol, each forwarding node appends to the failure message a hop payload flag. It also includes a duration field that records how long the node held the HTLC and H max corresponding to different assumed positions in the route. If a node corrupts the failure message, the mismatch in the HMAC chain helps identify the pair of nodes between which this happened. LND issue number 9669 downgrades simple taproot channels to always use the legacy cooperative close flow, even if the RBF cooperative close flow that's described in newsletter number 347 is configured. Previously, a node that had both features configured would fail to start up. Rust Bitcoin issue number 4302 adds a new push relative lock time method to the Script Builder API. This method takes a relative time lock parameter and deprecates push sequence, which takes a raw sequence number as a parameter. This change resolves a potential confusion where developers would mistakenly push a raw sequence number in scripts instead of a relative time lock value. That value is then checked against an input sequence number using checksequen. Severify, want more? For more discussion about the topics mentioned in this newsletter, join us for the weekly Bitcoin Optech recap on riverside.fm at 15:30 UTC on April 15th. The discussion is also recorded and will be available from our podcast's page.